Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello there, and welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura out at the 17th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament, checking in on Tony Grossi's phone today. We're having some technical difficulties out here. In segment number two, I'll be joined by Matt Wilhelm, who'll be back in Berea. But we've got a lot going on out here at the tournament. A perfect day for golf as the Browns show their commitment to raising money and helping support education East Ohio. Paul Krueger, we will hear from him. He's out here at the golf. Christian Kirksey will join us around 1:15. We'll also have Hugh Jackson. He spoke with the media earlier today. Browns third-round pick Carl Nassib, as well as Renee Harvey, the vice president of the Cleveland Browns Foundation, will join us at 2:30. It's been a great day out here. You've seen every single Browns player out here. It's something that was very important to head coach Hugh Jackson. And earlier today, when everybody participating in the tournament was addressed by the owners of the Cleveland Browns, Dee Haslam, Jimmy Haslam, as well as the head coach Hugh Jackson, they all stressed how important it was to have everyone here, and all players were here, those participating in the tournament, some of the players and coaches were playing, as well as those that were here to take part in the Cleveland Browns Dog Days, as they bust in over 100 kids from Northeast Ohio to participate with the guys, and they were able to come out here and play around and do some combine drills, et cetera, with the Cleveland Browns. So it was certainly a great thing to see out there as the kids came out and all the players were here. And for the first time, by the way, for the first time in the history of this event, you had every player on the Browns in attendance showing the commitment to making this something that was important for every player on the team. And a lot of the people that were here remarked it was amazing to see. You had the guys who were playing dressed in golf clothes, then you had all the other Browns players in their orange Give 10 jerseys, and it really was quite a sight. Everybody was here. Now, one player who wasn't here, we've got some news. Gary Barnidge, as many of you know, wasn't able to practice yesterday. Well, we found out why. Gary Barnidge is having sports hernia surgery. Actually, he had it this morning. It is considered to be a very minor procedure. They decided the time was right to do it right now. Gary Barnidge will not miss any time in training camp, so he won't participate in the mandatory minicamp next week, but that explains where he was yesterday. He's getting that taken care of. I spoke with him today, and he says that he is doing just fine and is ready to get back to work. It was considered something very minor that they thought would be better to get cleaned up now rather than let it linger on into the season. So Gary Barnidge, that's where he was. Minor sports hernia surgery again, and we'll be ready for training camp. So we're very excited to be out here today. Of course, you can always call us 216-578-0850. As I said, we'll hear from Christian Kirksey. We're going to hear from Paul Krueger. We're going to hear from Carl Nassib, as well as the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, as we are live from the 17th Annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament here at Westwood Country Club on a perfect day for some golf. And it's also a perfect day for the hoops, as the Cavs open the NBA Finals tonight in Golden State. You want to call your shot about that, feel free to call us up, 216-578-0850. And one of the things I just wanted to talk about, and I know we've been making not a huge deal out of it, but it is something that is important to note, is kind of the reintegration of the alumni here under Hugh Jackson and Peter John Baptiste, and of course Kevin Mack, head of alumni relations, but kind of the reintegration of these alumni into the mix. And there are tons of alumni here participating in this golf tournament today. I've seen Hanford Dixon and Reggie Langhorne, Jim Brown, the GOAT, is here as well, all participating all around last week. Bob Golic was out at practice. And just seeing these guys, Bernie Kosar the week before that. So seeing all these guys kind of come back and interact with the players and interact with the corporate partners of the Cleveland Browns today certainly was a pretty special thing. And I can tell you from being out here that the message was, for the Cleveland Browns, it's all about winning. And Hugh Jackson talked about it's all about winning on the field, and it's about winning and doing what you can to make this community of Cleveland the best it can possibly be. And that's something that was certainly stressed today. We saw a video about all the work that the foundation's doing through the Adapted Football League, building the football fields, helping with the kids getting to school, something as simple as making phone calls every day to make sure these kids are going to school and getting it done. And it's just a nice time out here and beautiful day, as I said, for golf. The whole team was here, and it really was quite a sight to see because, obviously, this time of year, 90 guys still on the Cleveland Browns roster, and it was good to see them out here. I had an opportunity to spend some time talking to a bunch of the players as they were going through, and literally it's quite a sight to see right now. About 20 feet away from me, Jim Brown is about to tee off, and I'll tell you what, the guy can still hit the golf ball very, very well. But a lot of fun out here. It's the 17th Annual Cleveland Browns Foundation, the golf tournament, and, you know, just bringing everything together in the community and also with this football team. And you had the kids coming out, they were doing 20-yard dashes. And it's just been a lot of fun out here at the Westwood Country Club, who's been very, very hospitable and made this a very, very good time. But as I said, we're going to have lots of player talk with you. And I can tell you this, one guy I talked to who I've talked a lot about and who I've said has made the most unbelievable improvement is Terrell Pryor. And, you know, from talking to people, he wants to be good so badly. He is talking to his coaches every single night, going over the film, putting in as much work as he possibly can to master his craft as a wide receiver. And we're starting to see it on the field. I can't wait to see when the pads come on. And I know from talking to Terrell today that he is focused solely on becoming the best wide receiver he can. And I don't think he's content with just making this football team. Obviously, that's a goal. But Terrell Pryor wants to come out here, and he wants to dominate and wants to be a force for the Cleveland Browns at the wide receiver position. So a lot of fun out here at Westwood Country Club today. Again, it's the 17th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament, and obviously the mission of the Cleveland Browns Foundation is to advance youth and education here in Northeast Ohio. And we'll hear from the vice president of the Cleveland Browns Foundation, Renee Harvey, at 2:30 on today's show. So a lot to get to out here at Westwood Country Club on a very, very big day, a day where the Haslams have said they will match not only every dollar that was raised for the foundation, but they will go above and beyond that match and make sure that they can do their part to ensure that the youth has the opportunity and the education they need in Northeast Ohio to be successful at whatever endeavor it is that they choose to pursue in their careers. So Nathan Zagura here with you. As you can tell, I'm having a little technical difficulties on the bat phone right now, but Matt Wilhelm is headed to Berea as we speak. He will join me for segment two. We'll also hear from Christian Kirksey right away in segment number two at around 1:15. So he's coming up. As I said, Paul Kruger, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, and Carl Nassib, the Browns' third-round pick out of Penn State who led the nation a year ago in sacks, will be with us. And it's funny, you've seen these guys out here and seeing the players kind of out of their element because they're not golfers, but I'll tell you who is. Andy Lee, the Browns' punter, a plus handicap. For those of you who know what that means, better than scratch. He's a good player. I saw Austin Davis out here smacking it around. Tank Carter hits a big ball, and even Terrell Pryor, I saw, hit an absolute bomb out here. So it's a lot of fun, and you can tell the people are having a good time getting to kind of know the players who make up the Cleveland Browns this season. And it was important, as I said, for Hugh Jackson to have every single player out here, and they were today, basically the entire roster here, interacting with the kids who are bussed in and gotten to play games and having a very, very good time. And for those wondering if Isaiah Crowell is golfing again this year after his unbelievable performance in 2015. Unfortunately, no, the Crow not golfing. The Pizza Lunchables will stay off of the golf course today. They will have to wait until the football field in the fall. But a great time out here, and we're very excited to have, you know, the players joining us on this show. We're excited to hear from head coach Hugh Jackson, of course, the vice president of the Cleveland Browns Foundation, Renee Harvey, talking about all the good work that this organization is doing. And I can tell you, on the field, more focused and committed on winning than ever, and off of the field, more focused and committing on doing very, very good in this community. And it's great to see the alumni, the players of past and present here for the Browns, all in support of the Cleveland Browns Foundation to advance education and help the youth of Northeast Ohio. Christian Kirksey, the Browns' third-year linebacker, will be with us when we return. We also hope to be joined by Matt Wilhelm. So you can call us up today, 216-578-0850. Tweet me at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily, as we are live from the Cleveland Browns Foundation, the 17th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament here at Westwood Country Club on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. You have just heard from Nathan Zagura. He is out at Westwood Country Club there in the beautiful city of Westlake, which I now call home. I am here in Berea holding down the fort. And as Nathan talked about, Andrew Gribble has an opportunity to spend some time with many players out there. But the first player we're going to hear from is Andrew's interview earlier this morning with inside linebacker Christian Kirksey.
All right, Chris, first off, just what does it feel like for the whole team to be out here at a big golf event like the Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament?
It feels good to have your fellow teammates out here golfing. Some of us is good, some of us is bad. But it's just a good way to have team chemistry, give back to the community, show that we care. The Cleveland Browns Foundation is a good foundation that likes to do hands-on activities, like to get out there and show the community that, we are here. We're not just a football team. We are here trying to, reach out to others and, be a part of the city. So it's definitely a good feeling when you see all your teammates here, your coaches here, the GMs and, the owners. It just shows that we're trying to be a family. So it's pretty good.
What category do you fall in with the golfing game, good or bad?
We'll see how that looks today. But last time I golfed, I was kind of bad at it. But I've been playing on the Wii a little bit golfing, so I think I get pretty good.
Who stands out on the golf course here among teammates?
Last year, I'd probably say Tank Carter. Tank Carter, he's a pretty good golfer. Him and Paul Kruger. Paul Kruger, they're pretty nice. Every time we're in the facility, they always talking about their scores and stuff. And I get lost with what they're talking about because I don't know no golf terminology, but it seemed like they know what they're doing. So that's pretty good.
What was it like for you guys to find out that this would be how you guys end OTAs and build into what will be a busy veteran minicamp next week?
We had a nice OTAs. It was very competitive. I got to learn some of my new teammates. They got to learn me. And it's just good for once, like after that phase, you just ended on a good outing like this, something that get us another chance to know each other outside of the facility. And just in an event like this is just a good deal for us. So, it's a lot of fun and can't wait to get back for the mini camp.
What surprised you about OTAs? Did anything stand out on what you guys were able to accomplish?
The chemistry that we built so fast. We lost a lot of guys from last year, the new coaching change, and it just feel like I've been a part of these guys for a long time. I met some of my new teammates, and we just gelled real fast. The coaches, we have a good relationship. Hugh Jackson is a tremendous guy. He'll be out here today, and you can just tell that the team bonding is special. And like I said, we've been competing this whole OTAs, and it's been a good competition. So whenever you have good competition like that, it shows what type of team you're going to have throughout the season. So it's definitely a good feeling.
Is there anything different about what you're doing on this defense this year than what you did last year with a different defensive coordinator and what Ray Horton is asking of you?
I could just say that I probably have a bigger role, especially last year with the two linebackers that we had, Carlos and Craig. Those guys were great players. And I was splitting reps with Craig, so I was going in and out. But this OTAs, I feel like I've been put in a bigger role, whether it's special teams or defense, and I'm trying to be a leader. So I can see some of the changes happening.
What's Demario Davis like on the field? We hear a lot about his leadership. What is it like when he's out there with you on the field?
I feel like I've been playing with him for my whole career. As soon as I found out that he was coming to Cleveland, I shot him a text because we both have the same agent. I shot him a text. And I just told him, I'm happy to be working with you this upcoming season. Let's get it done. Let's try to win the championship for Cleveland. And, he was all in. And, he brings so much energy to the field, so much leadership to the linebacker room. And I stated before that at first I thought he was like an 8-year vet. But, he's only been in league for 5. So you can just tell that he's smart. He knows what he's doing. And, he can play a lot of football.
When you're entering a third season like you are, is this kind of the time where you start feeling really comfortable with what you're able to do and feel like you can kind of maximize your kind of potential in this defense?
For sure. Your first year, your rookie year, your mind is spinning. You don't really know what's going on, so you're just trying to feel your way through. Second year, you're a little bit more comfortable. You got over that hump of the first year of being a rookie. And then that third year, you just tuned in. You just hit the ground running. And you're focused and you're more comfortable. And that's what football is all about. Once you're confident, once you're focused, you're comfortable, you can elevate your game. So I feel really comfortable about this year, and I'm ready to take off.
you guys got some new rookies in with the team a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
What has stood out about Schobert, Ogba, and what can they bring to this defense?
Man, Schobert, you know, he's definitely you know, he's a good player. He's very sound with his technique. You know, coming from Wisconsin, you know, I played them a lot in the Big Ten, and you know, I already knew what type of guy he was going to be. You know, his versatility is insane. You know, he can pass rush. You know, he can drop back in coverage. He can do a lot of things for us. And Ogba, you know, he's a I didn't know he was that big. You know, and he moves pretty well for a big guy. So those guys, they're learning fast. They're doing good. You know, and you know, they're keeping quiet, just keeping their head down and focusing. You know, and that's all you got to do when you come to the league. Just, you know, get to work. Don't say too much. Just, you know, just show us that you're trying to work. So, and that's what they're doing.
I forgot to mention Scooby as well. He's in with your position group. What about Scooby, man?
You can tell he's gonna be wild, man. He's one of those guys that's very energetic about the game. You know, he's out there full speed to the ball. He's in tune in the meeting rooms, ask questions. So he's going to be a good player.
You've been in a spot like he is. Maybe you weren't as drafted as late, but what does a player like him have to do to stand out and kind of find a niche on this team?
You know, just every time you're on the field, man, show that you're out there, you know, whether it's you communicating out there, being loud, showing your enthusiasm for the game. Going out there and make plays, you know, that's something that I tried to do my rookie year. I tried to just, you know, be around the ball, you know. When you're on tape, let the coaches see that you're ball hawking, that you're hustling. And you want to see a coach tell you, all right, slow down. You know, when a coach tell you slow down a little bit, that means that, you know, you're busting your butt to get to the ball and that you're working hard. So that's just some things that I did, and I see that Scooby's doing the same thing. So I tip my hat off to him, and, you know, hopefully everything goes well.
What's the motivation for this defense this year? What is the one thing that's driving you guys?
You know, we just, you know, we're tired of losing, you know. Coach always stressed about winning. That's his big point right now, is just winning. That's what we're here to do. And our main focus for defense, as you can see, all the stats and the rankings of where we were as a defense, you know, we don't want to see that. And we definitely want to go on the field and, you know, work hard throughout the week. And then it doesn't show on Sundays. So basically our whole goal is to increase our play, you know, get more turnovers, you know, get off the field, you know, and just be a dominant defense, be a run-stopping defense, you know. Don't let the ball get over your head too much, you know. We're just trying to be sound in everything that we do and be a top 10 defense. That's what we're trying to do.
Last question for you. What are you doing personally when after you guys wrap up at our mini camp? You got a big break there before training camp.
Hey, you know, you get a chance to, you know, relax your body, get a couple of massages, but at the same time, you can't relax too much. You know, you got to still do a couple lifts, a couple things to stay in shape, you know, stay in your playbook, you know, because it's a lot of plays, so you don't want to let your mind wander. So you got to stay in it, but get a chance to go home, see my family, then come back and hit the ground running.
That was third-year inside linebacker, potential starting inside linebacker Christian Kirksey from earlier this morning at the Cleveland Browns Foundation outing at beautiful Westwood Country Club. And we're going to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Call the show with any comments in regards to Christian Kirksey's recent interview, his role in this defense. We're going to take a timeout, keep the ball rolling, and potentially be joined by Nathan Zagura here after this break on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Well, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, live at the Cleveland Browns 17th Annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament on a beautiful day at Westwood Country Club here on the west side of Cleveland. Matt, I got to ask you from a player standpoint, because this was really cool. Hugh Jackson, for the first time that I've been around, had every single player out today, some of them playing in the tournament, and then the others came out and participated in the Cleveland Brown Dog Days. They bust in over 100 local kids who came out, and they put them through drills, played games. They had a great time with all the other players, but it was pretty impressive to see all 90 Browns here, some in polos to play golf, some in their orange jerseys. But as a player, do you get excited about things like this? And do you get excited to get to have a day off from practice and play golf?
Yeah, I'd say the latter of the two, Nathan. Anytime you have an opportunity to go do something fun, still as a unit, still as a team, and then for those guys who obviously took part in half the day, they're probably on with their day, you know, sort of like treating it like a day off. But I personally, especially my days in San Diego, love doing events like this because you meet a lot of great people, you know, who are of influence in your local market, which is Northeast Ohio. You know, the car dealers and the and all the different companies or corporations that support the Cleveland Browns. And I know Brent Stelick and his group do a great job, you know, putting those individuals together and in marketing the Cleveland Browns for who they are. And then, but yeah, absolutely. When you see, and I think what's unique to the Cleveland Browns Foundation and what they did this year is having those young people out at the course, because they are truly the individuals who are reaping the benefit of, you know, all Jimmy and Lee Haslam have put into this foundation.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do. And as I've said, we've gotten to see the players come through. Saw Jim Brown hit a nice drive to my left right now. Joe Thomas about to tee off in flip-flops, which is something that I used to do back in my day, my collegiate days in Atlanta. I used to try to golf in flip-flops from time to time. But it's certainly fun to see the guys out here kind of out of their – and Joe Thomas just hit a bomb, by the way, in his flip-flops right down the pipe here at Westwood Country Club. It's fun to see the guys kind of out of their element and having fun and – just kind of a day to get away from the grind, but know that what they're doing is still very much a powerful contribution to what the Browns are trying to accomplish in their community.
Yeah, no, I mean, no doubt. And that's why I think, you know, when Renee Harvey and the presence that the foundation has in this building, it's not like out of the blue, you know, Renee or her team of people are asking, you know, these players to come out and support the foundation. We get the press releases of all the things that they do at the different schools throughout Northeast Ohio with their visits and the checks that they're giving away. And so this is just the one big main function that they have in regards to raising their funds. And I think, as we've heard earlier, I heard you in the open talk about, you know, Jimmy and Dee Haslam, you know, matching and even potentially going above and beyond matching anything that's raised coming out of this golf outing. I think it's a big part of making a family in the Haslam family, you know, not being from Northeast Ohio, but making their impact well beyond, you know, the time that they will own the Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely, and it's a nice day out here. For those who are wondering who the best golfer is, from talking to the players, Andy Lee seems to hold that down. Apparently he's a plus one or a plus two handicap,
yeah.
Which means
When I was there earlier, you know, I was talking to Andy on one of the tee boxes, and there's that short par four that's right in front of where you guys are sitting. And
where we are, yeah.
Yeah, and Andy drove it over the green.
A beast.
Yeah.
He hits booming punts and booming golf shots.
He
Andy
does.
Lee.
Same
of
trajectory.
The Cleveland Browns. Yeah. So I bet. Yeah, a lot of height and a lot of distance for Mr. Andy Lee. Where did you guys used to do your event with the Chargers? I mean, was it Torrey Pines? Did you guys get to get out on Torrey Pines?
No, we didn't. It was a Madeiras Golf Club, which was a private place up by, you know, where a lot of the players had lived, was where they did their outings pretty consistently. The Chargers would do theirs, and then, you know, so many guys, and I think that's, you know, may or may not be coming around the corner, but LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees really set the standard of having their own foundation and wanting to impact. They kind of rivaled, I don't want to say rivaled like they're against the Browns Foundation, but the Browns Foundation or something like of that sort created the perfect template to go, okay, I support that, but what do I stand for? And so, you know, the guys create the 501c3, they put their own money, their own time, into their own cause and look to their teammates and other local, you know, local business owners and people throughout the community to help, you know, their cause. And that was the coolest thing. What I love doing is not only showing up to the, you know, the team organization golf outing, but to show up to your teammates, because I know in my case, I was always invited to LaDainian Tomlinson's, and yes, even in some cases, I wasn't as close to him as I ended up being towards the end of my career, but I would go, and the greatest thing about it is when I started my foundation with my wife, it was, hey, LT, I'm having my outing on this day. Can you come? And because I went to his, he would come to mine, you know, and so he having his celebrity status just raised awareness for our foundation, and it was just all in all a win-win for everybody in the community.
Yeah, it's awesome, and it's good to see that these guys, you know, understand the impact that they can have on a bigger scale. Joe, the show, Schobert, about to tee off right in front of me here out at Westwood Country Club today, 17th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament. And Matt, obviously this is a huge deal in Cleveland and around Cleveland for what it's going to give back to the youth. But there's also something else pretty big happening on the minds of people in Cleveland, and that is the beginning of the NBA Finals tonight.
Yes.
The Cavs and the Warriors in Oakland, my hometown team against my new hometown team, and certainly the battle that everybody wanted to see. And how are you feeling right now getting ready for this game? What are you feeling?
I feel like, for me, it's kind of the calm before the storm because, you know, today has been a little frantic with getting the kids off to school, business meeting, getting there to the country club, then coming here because of our technical difficulties that I haven't really wrapped my head around where I'm going to watch the game, if I go anywhere, which is kind of good because I think when you overanalyze, you're psyching yourself up, you psych yourself out. But I just watched the little Stephen A. Video on ESPN.com with him saying, you know, my head says Warriors, my heart says Cavs, but all in all, at the end of the 2-minute little snippet, he ends up going with the Warriors, going with his head. I'm excited to see, because I think tonight's game, not simply just as a game one, tonight's game is going to say a lot by the body language with which LeBron and the Cavaliers carry themselves. Because I think the Warriors...
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I mean, the Warriors, to me, were on the ropes against the Thunder, both, you know, mentally and physically, meaning 3-1 in the series, but yet... They were just even keeled. They trusted who they were, and lo and behold, they win, you know, 4-3, finishing that up back at home. And I just feel that if the Cavs, because we as a fan base get so high or low that I don't want to see the high or low of our team.
Yes.
I just want to see the physicality, the confidence, and the swagger.
And there are going to be a lot of highs and lows in this series. I mean, it's just kind of when you have two teams that are as good as these teams, you're going to have that. And again, it still boggles my mind how a lot of people, and certainly in the analytics world, think that the Browns have no chance. And then you talk to, you know, certainly everybody around Cleveland, and, you know, we took them to 6 games last year without Love or Kyrie. So why can't we win it this year? Now, of course the Cavs can win it this year. It's going to come down to, as you said, the poise, I think, that they show, what they're able to demonstrate, what they're able to do, and it's going to come down to a lot of shooting. I mean, I think these are both teams that rely on that outside shot, and I think the teams that shoot the best are going to have a big advantage. And how Kevin Love figures into this series, is he going to be too much of a defensive liability in the pick and rolls? Are they going to try to exploit that with Steph Curry? How the Cavs can utilize Kevin Love and get the best out of him, or if they have to go with a lineup that doesn't have as much Kevin Love. That's going to be, I think, the real interesting strategy piece of it. And then can Andre Iguodala, from the Warriors' standpoint, and again, LeBron had one of the greatest series of all time, but can Andre Iguodala play as big a role as he did ending up the NBA Finals MVP last year and one of the great upsets of all time? Will he be able to figure out a way to play such a big role this year, and can the Cavs prevent that? It's going to be two heavyweights. The analytics say it's, you know, 70% chance for the Warriors to win the series. Well, I don't care. The games aren't played kind of on those computer models, and I think that momentum is going to be big. And I think it is, though, imperative for the Cavs to go out and get one of these first two games. I think that's going to be key for them, because I think it's going to be very difficult to beat the Warriors 4 out of 5 games.
I agree, and I think the one thing that I'm doing, and I know it wavered slightly in the Raptors series, is I'm taking for granted that the Big Three will play like the Big Three. Because if they do, I think we'll be in every game, and I don't think that, you know, that we will surpass and weather the 3-point barrages that the Warriors can create. And what I look to right after the Big Three is our next. I think if our next three play good or above average, I'll say. That's JR, that's Shump, that's Dellavedova has, you know, a game or two like he did last year. Tristan plays better or similar to the way he did last year. If our big three will play big.
He's going to be big this series.
Yeah, and our next three play good. They don't need to play great, but they need to play good consistently. I think we can win this series.
I think it's going to be a great, great finals, and I think many people are saying if the Cavs win, they need to win it in six, and I do understand that at some point, but listen, if you can go out there and win a game in Golden State, you could do it in game seven as well as you could do in game one, and we know in the NFL, NBA, anything can happen, obviously, in any one game, but it's exciting to see that getting started here tonight, Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. We'll get a Friday night game in Cleveland, which I think will be a lot of fun. And it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I think that getting over there and finding a way to get one of these in the first two games is going to be absolutely critical because you just don't want to come home down 2-0 feeling the pressure. And I think the Browns – I'm the Browns. I keep saying the Browns. We're at the Browns Foundation Golf Tournament. The Cavs have an opportunity to go out there and do that. And I think that it's going to be – it's amazing to see the perception – when you just look at the lineups on paper, you got to feel real good about the Cavs. They lost in six last year, but wait, now we're fully loaded. We've got Love. We've got Kyrie healthy. We're playing well. But this was a good Warriors team. These are the two best teams in the NBA. They've been the two best teams in the NBA all season, and now it's the opportunity to see them battle for the NBA title, and it begins tonight. And I think it's certainly going to be – it's the matchup that everybody wanted. I think if you were a Cavs fan, yes, you were hoping on some level for the Thunder because you felt that the Cavs had a better shot to beat the Thunder. But in reality, this is the matchup that you wanted to see.
Everybody wanted to see the Cavs.
And you wanted to see the Warriors.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to see it. And hopefully, you know, the best team will win, and we all certainly hope in the city of Cleveland that it is, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Nathan Zgarden, Matt Wilhelm with you today. Matt in Berea. I am out at the Westwood Country Club for the Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament, 17th annual. A great event where guys are coming out here having fun. Hanford Dixon, the top dog, bombing one down the middle right behind me. And it's great to see golfers, the players of today, the players of the alumni are out here. Hanford now talking some smack to some of the other people who didn't see his drive and give it the proper respect. You got it on the radio, Hanford. Trust me. But it's good to see everybody out here. And, of course, the legend Jim Brown. We heard earlier today from Jimmy Haslam. We heard from Dee Haslam and the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. We're going to have an opportunity to hear from Hugh Jackson next here on CBD. And, Matt, we'll get to that right after this. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura live at the Cleveland Browns 17th Annual Foundation Golf Tournament. Matt Wilhelm holding down the fort in Berea. As G.I. George pointed out, Matt Wilhelm, of course you're holding down the fort in Berea because you are the glue of CBD.
This is true.
This is true. I'm just sad you didn't get to get out here and get, you know, in the sun.
I know.
Deserved, I thought, you know, some opportunity to work on your tan.
I would have loved that.
But it just wasn't meant to be.
It's all right.
I know. I would have loved to have been golfing today. I'm just
see another
like
day.
Sitting this close to a golf course, not playing, seeing all the fun people walk by, like Whitney and Paul Krueger and Jim Brown.
That's right.
It's tough. It's almost like torture. I almost would rather, I don't know if I'd rather be in the studio than this close to golf without being able to play. It'd be for me to be on the sideline during the fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game, knowing I'm not going to get to go into the game.
This is true.
Sure. Very difficult situations, yes. Tough for me to deal with. Doing the best I can. Can't go on, Gibbs. Must go on. Are you going to talk to us, Gibbs?
I was working on a food order for us.
Oh, were you? Yeah. And you put in for?
Turkey and roast beef.
Okay. You send her right down this fairway to the smoked meats guy. There's a guy out there. Bill's his name. Listens to the show every single day. Billy Morris. It's called the Smokin' Rock and Roll Food Truck. They do unbelievable, and they provide music. If you want him to come out and play rock and roll, he'll do that for you. But great smoked
brisket.
Billy
Morris is great guitar.
Oh, Billy Morris, fine man. So he's out here today. Shinto's out here. Capitol Grill, which is opening up soon at Legacy Village, is out here with filet mignon.
Why are they not swinging by for a little food drop and some on-air pub?
Well, listen, we can put that out there. We'll put that in the mix. Peeps, bring us
food.
Doesn't
do me any good here, guys.
Get something to Wilhelm somehow. Wilhelm, if we get food, we'll tell you in great detail how good it is.
Wilhelm, I'm on my second meal of the day here.
Me too. We've been here. I started off with hash browns and Canadian bacon.
Ooh, you got better than I did.
I'm typically
a fruit bowl.
I'm typically a protein smoothie in the morning type of a person. I don't really eat breakfast.
It's important.
Yeah.
And I try to. There are a lot of mornings I don't eat till like 11 o'clock.
Like, do you enjoy waffles?
I love waffles.
Do you enjoy waffles, Wilhelm?
Only at a buffet, which is like three times a year.
Yeah, I don't.
Like an Easter buffet.
I'm just not
eating
breakfast
with
just
eggs.
I have no time for eggs.
I don't eat breakfast at all.
You just don't like eggs.
First food that I put in my body most days is in Berea at lunch.
Me too. First food, but I always wake up and I have a protein shake.
I don't have anything.
A protein
I do
shake.
Like anabolic fasting. It's revolutionary.
Anabolic fasting.
Yes.
Do you like to do empty stomach cardio?
I do sometimes. I do an empty stomach workout minus whatever I put in my body just
the
before
cardio.
My workout.
Yeah. That's why the guy is a beast, folks.
Hey.
Super Bowl champion.
Are we throwing to heel?
All about winning. That's what we're going to. I was about to transition. I was getting there.
Whatever.
I was getting there.
Day out.
Yeah, no rush, Wilhelm. Let's
I'm inside.
Let's smell the roses.
I'm inside.
Wilhelm, do you want to drive back here?
No.
Do you want to come back and join me, Matt?
Sure. No, I'm not going to waste time. It's all right. Let's go.
All right, let's go.
The glue.
The head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, talked to the media. One of the big topics, obviously, Gary Barnage. We told you earlier today, sports hernia surgery will be ready for training camp. We'll hear from the coach about that and many, many other things right now.
You haven't been playing golf. You've been too busy, right?
Yeah, I'm still too busy. My game's not very good. You know, but I thought it was a great opportunity for our players to come out and have an impact. You know, I think what Dee and Jimmy are doing in the community is unbelievable. And I join hip to hip with them that way. And I think it's an opportunity for our players to come see exactly what it is that we need to give back. You know, because somebody helped all of us get to where we are here today. And the impact that Dee and the foundation, and Jimmy, excuse me, the foundation is making in lives of young kids is unbelievable. And I think it's important that our players see that we want to be very active in the community and be able to give back that way. So that's why I thought today was so important to do this. And I think our players truly understand it.
Jimmy said that, you know, you're speaking in there, that Jim Brown's going to be more involved than he has been the last few years. Can you just tell us what your plans are for him and why it's important to involve him more?
My plan is to speak to him early and often because I think he's very bright. I think he gets it. He understands these young men. He understands truly how to deal with them, how to motivate them, how to push them. And to me, a guy like Jim, not to use him as a resource would be not very smart on my part. And he's been outstanding. I've had a lot of long conversations with him, one obviously about the organization, the city, and how he can help. But again, one thing we all know about Jim, he's never going to do anything to hurt the organization. So he's been unbelievable for me. He's been a great sounding board, and I appreciate him being as active as he is.
Had you been around him much before you got here?
No, I hadn't.
And just the impact he still has. I mean, I saw, I think, Pat taking his picture with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think the young guys understand kind of his place in the history of the game?
They will. I have talked to him about, you know, as part of our learning, of learning the history of the Cleveland Browns. I've had a session with our team about that, you know, about different areas within our organization, and different people have been a part of this team. And I'm sure you guys have seen, that's the reason why I've had the alumni out a lot, because I want our guys to connect the right way and truly understand that there was a lot of men before them who've played the game here, who love playing the game here, who won here. And so it's not a question if it can be done. It's just that we have to do the hard work in order to have it be done.
What kind of people did you emphasize from the history?
Well, I wanted them to know exactly who the owners were, who's gonna pay their bills. But I thought it was important for them to understand, when's the last time we won a World Championship? You know, when's the last time this team's been to the playoffs and had a winning season? And exactly who the great players who have played here before these men that are playing here now. I think you need to know those things. You need to know as much about our history as you can, because at the end of the day, it's what's going to fuel us a little bit to play a little harder longer to get the job done.
Did you go back to Paul Brown and Motley?
I can't tell you all my secrets, but we went back a long ways.
How valuable is it for an organization to have a good relationship with alumni? And I know you're having guys come in and speak, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Just, what value do you see in that?
Well, because I think it connects our players with the former players. And I think those former players who live here, they want to feel like they still are part of it, you know, and they are, because they're the men who laid the foundation for where we are today. So, and they have the opportunity to give them very sound advice because they've been through it. You know, it's a saying, you know, I'm 50 years old right now, and these young men we have never been 50 years old, but I've never played in the National Football League. So there's people who are going to be able to give them very experienced advice on what they're dealing with, not just within the organization, but also within the community, and how they can be successful. And I think that's very important.
Did you spend much individual time with Bernie Kosar?
Not individual time, but I did have an opportunity to talk to him, not for very long, but I was very impressed with him. Have an opportunity to talk to him. I know he's very passionate about the football team, the organization, the city, and I thought it was important for him to be there, and I thought his message was well received by our football team.
You getting caught up in Cavs fever?
Yes, I am, and I'm all in, okay? And I know it's a big game tonight, and I know I used to be on the West Coast, so it'd be people throwing darts at me right now, but again, I hope that, you know, for our city, that the Cavs can go and get this done. I think they're well-deserving. I think they play extremely hard. I think they're well-coached. I think, obviously, they have some tremendous players, you know, led by LeBron and Kylie and the rest of those guys. It is going to be what it is. But at the end of the day, those guys are going to – they'll get it done. You know, it's going to be a tough series, but they'll get it done.
Have you brought that – I mean, obviously, your guys know – Cavs are in the finals, but have you kind of brought that up to them at all, and what it means for them?
Absolutely, I have, because I think we're pulling for them all the way. You know, I've been to some games myself in support, and I've seen quite a few of our players there in support, and it'd be nothing better than to be able to call them world champs and high five those guys for what they're doing, because we're chasing the same thing. You know, at the end of the day, that's what we're after as well. So it's fun to watch a group of men bond, and watching two young men come off of some real hard injuries and overcome them, and then become a team again and get back to the finals again. That's amazing, and that's a lot of work, and there's a lot of lessons in there for us to see.
Before you got hired here, were you a Warriors guy?
I can't tell you that. No, I'm not. I got to be very honest with you, because now I get in trouble. No, I was not, because I'm from the West Coast, so you guys know my allegiance to. There's another team.
You're a Lakers guy.
Thank you. All right, let's just, we got to keep that real. Okay. All right.
The Clippers?
No. No, don't do that.
You get a sense of what sports means to this community. What do you think a championship would mean to this city and this area?
It would mean a ton. Because I think, again, I've watched the Believe Blend series, and I've caught up in some of that. And so I get it. And I know we're all starving for a champion, to be able to be saying, I'm living a city that everybody's calling world's champions. That means you're the best in the world at what you do. And I think it would be tremendous. I think it gives our city a lot of confidence. You know, I think we would walk around very proudly and feel very good about what we're doing. And because this city is about hard work. You know, it's about putting your head down and working hard and showing up every day to get done what you need to get done. And that's what that team, the basketball team, truly represents. And they're doing a tremendous job.
When you were inside, you mentioned to the guys, you guys have 4 days off, and I need you to handle yourselves the right way before you come back. What is your philosophy that way on kind of holding your players accountable? And will you take a really hard line stance on anything having to do with any misbehavior off the field?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. We're not going to deal with that very much. I think I've said that a long time ago. But that was part of it. You know, make sure we need everybody back here next week. You know, finishing our off-season program the right way with the mandatory mini camp. We need every player available that is available to practice. That's first and foremost. But the second thing is understanding their processes when they leave here. You know, you can't leave here and forget football. You know, we need to come back and hit the ground running and not feel like we're starting over again. And I think my message was I didn't like how we started off this past Tuesday at practice. You know, it wasn't that we practiced bad. We just didn't practice as good as I think we can. So that was my warning, my little warning shot to them, because we need to come back on Tuesday ready to go. We got to finish this the right way.
Good?
Okay. Oh. No, well, where's Scott? So somebody asked me yesterday about Barnage.
I did.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely. So I want to make sure I update everybody. He had a sports hernia surgery, okay? And he will obviously be out for the mini camp, but he had the best doctor, you know, and he will be back and ready to go at training camp. And I'm glad that we're dealing with this now so that we can get it behind us and get him back to where he needs to be. And me knowing him, he'll be chomping at the bit way before time, but we'll slow him down and make sure he's ready to go. But I don't think there's any concern if he's not going to be ready to go or anything like that. But it's good to get these things behind us as fast as we can. So I wanted to make sure I give you guys all that so you'll know exactly what's going on.
Did you have it today?
Hi. Yeah, had it early this morning. Okay.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson talking to the media earlier today, giving the news that Gary Barnage had that sports hernia surgery, won't miss any time other than the mandatory minicamp, should be ready to go at training camp. And Matt, talk us about what that surgery and that injury means for an athlete of the caliber of Gary Barnage.
Yeah, I mean, it's very painful because, you know, that sports hernia surgeries, you know, kind of, they always talk about, you know, your core and stabilization, and it's the extension of who you are as an athlete. And you figure anytime you're affected in that area, anytime you put your cleats in the ground, try to make any type of move, there's a singe or a pain. So at this point right now, I would believe that after last year and the season that Gary Barnage had and this deep into the OTAs, he has a strong grasp. And his position kind of sewed up, and expect him to have another great season in this Hugh Jackson system. Why not do it now to almost guarantee the fact that he will not miss time when it actually matters?
Did you ever have that?
I did not. I have not.
Did you ever?
I think a few teammates of mine have. And as I mentioned, it sometimes something like this kind of happens in the shadows, you know, in these, you know, kind of down times or down periods. So, as I said, it's really not a surprise that they made the executive decision that for a guy with the stature of Gary Barnage to, you know, to eliminate him now, to take any doubt of speculation about what's going on with Gary from the media or from the fan base, come out there, have it come right out of the cow's mouth, which is Hugh Jackson, lay it out there and let them know that the time frame for something like this, that now is the perfect time to get it done. I don't need to see anything from Gary throughout that veteran mini camp, and that he can recover fully for training camp, as I said, when it's when you're really prepping for money time.
Yeah, when you're getting ready to go. Again, Gary Barnage, sports hernia surgery earlier this morning, will be ready to go for Browns training camp late this summer. Hour number two of CBD, we're going to have Paul Krueger for you to kick off hour number two right when we come back. Also, we'll hear from Carl Nassib and Renee Harvey, the vice president of the Cleveland Browns Foundation. Nathan Zagura live at the 17th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation Golf Tournament. Matt Wilhelm holding down the fort in Berea as only the glue can. We got much, much more, including Paul Krueger, coming up next on CBD.